All right, well, with that being said, if you'll take your Bibles and we will go to Proverbs chapter 23. Now, the gentleman taught it last and shared with us what the Lord had given them out of Proverbs chapter 23 last time. I was here for two of them, I think, and what a blessing. And so I'm going to probably cover some of the same, but it's going to be not exactly the same, and you'll see why in just a moment. Proverbs 23 is much like the rest of Proverbs in many ways. And yet it's different in a way as well. By the way, it's good to have Nathaniel with us tonight. Sorry about that, my friend. And I just met him just a little bit ago. And evidently he knows some of you folks, and that's a good thing. And we got to kind of keep our eye on some of them, though, Nathaniel. They get kind of rowdy, you know what I mean? No, I'm teasing, of course. But it's good to have you with us, friend. Thank you for coming. Hope you'll come back and be with us again. All right, so Proverbs 23 is a phenomenal text in maintaining the various aspects of the believer's life. Now, this is Old Testament. I understand that. But Old Testament saints had an ambition. Those who wanted to had an ambition to walk with God. Amen or no? You have an Isaiah. You have a Nahum. You have just a lot of folks that we know of names in the Bible. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi. But you had a lot of others that God would call his remnant. There were parts of Israel that would stray away. But there would always be a certain number among them, not necessarily the same ones, but there would be in different generations those that God would call a remnant. You know what a remnant is, I think. If ladies are cutting out, they want to make a dress, and they're cutting the pattern out, they're cutting it out, and they set this aside, it would be a remnant of the whole material. I was probably not saying it right. Some ladies are looking at me like, no, we wouldn't order it quite like that. All right. But a remnant is not the whole, but is a section that was a part of the whole. All right. Well, there was a remnant in the Old Testament that wanted to walk with God, even when there wasn't very many others that wanted to, or when the whole group, like coming through the Red Sea, and they sang Moses' song. Oh, wow. It was revival time. It was wonderful. But it wasn't long until they started griping, started complaining for different reasons. So when we come to the book of Proverbs, I have eight different subjects that I see in the book of Proverbs. So I'm not going to try to teach those tonight, other than just to kind of help you to see that for those in the New Testament, those in the Old Testament, God had a way for us, if we'll pay attention to it, to maintain our walk with the Lord, no matter what else is going on in life, whether someone is ill, whether they're not, whether the church is going through a hard time or the nation of Israel is going through a hard time or not, those circumstances cannot make an individual walk away from God. They cannot make an individual come to where, well, you know, I'm just... You know, I'm whatever. You know, not. I started to quote something, but I don't want to do that because maybe somebody in here told me that. So the point is that you and I have the opportunity of saying, wait a minute. All right, as I read Proverbs 23, what are the different subjects in this one chapter? I mean, there's two or three verses or five or six verses or one verse, and then it changes subjects. What an opportunity for us to look at these and say, you know what, if I want to maintain a clear walk with the Lord, a faithful walk with the Lord, then these are things that I need to pay attention to. All right, you ready? All right, we're going to do it, and then we'll have our prayer time, and I'll slip out and go down and be with the folks down there just a little bit. All right, here we are, Proverbs 23. All right, the first section, I put verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8, some of you are taking notes. All of these deal with, the first word is maintaining, all right, maintaining. So verses 1 through 8 is maintaining discernment and discretion. Maintaining discernment and discretion. Notice what it says. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be given to appetite. In other words, boy, I just love to eat, you know, and I'm kind of that way myself. You know, I just love to eat. Boy, you put a peanut butter milkshake out there, and I'm all about it. Peanut butter pie, I'm all about it. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm all about it. Or whatever it is. Any of Becky's cooking, I'm all about it, all right? And she came in back in the back there from downstairs in the nursery, and so I got brownie points out of that. All right, but anything like that, he's saying if you're given to appetite, and some people just, you know, when it's talk about love, some people just love to be loved, and they have to watch out for that. In those years when they're wanting to pursue romance or whatever it is as a young person, and they're just in love with love, and if they're not careful and discerning, they're going to find themselves being attracted to someone simply because someone's paying attention to them. Okay, does that make sense? All right, well, the same thing here. Some people just, maybe they're chefs, maybe they're this or that, and they just love to eat. He's saying, no, wait a minute. When you're with someone that's an authority, and they're putting on a feast, they're putting out a spread. Notice what he says. Put a knife, verse 2, to thy throat if thou be given to appetite. Why? Be not desirous of his dainties. In other words, it may be some kind of an appetizer that's very expensive and you wouldn't normally have it. Or maybe it's a dessert. Oh, peanut butter pie. And you're over there and you think, and you can't afford peanut butter pie. Let's say, and I'm being facetious, I know. But he's saying, be careful here. And he's going to tell you why here in just a moment. Look at it. He says, put a knife to thy throat. Verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties. Watch this. For they are deceitful meat. In other words, when somebody knows what rings your bell, this is wonderful, that it distracts you from exercising discernment. All right, this guy's up to something. Or whatever. You're so enamored, so involved in what's in front of you. And it doesn't have to be food. It could be a lot of different things. Okay? It could be a purchase. It could be a lot of different things. It could be a place in a job or something, compromise in an area. Look what he says. For they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? In other words, it's in front of you, but it's not there for the reason you think it is, because he or she thinks the world of you. No, they're trying to manipulate your emotions to where you'll follow their leadership and follow it right into what they're wanting. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Yeah, it may look like a promotion. It may look like this. I've counseled young people for years and years and years. When you go to a fast food restaurant for your first job, and again, that's what a lot of people do, and I understand that, and you tell them you're a Christian and you don't want to work on Sunday, oh, that's fine, yeah, we'll work with you, you can count on it. They'll let you do that almost, doesn't matter what fast food place it is, they'll let you do that for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then, Maria is... her grandma had a whatever, and she's not able to come in. Would you do it this one time for me? I mean, it's almost to the script. And before long, well, it's not just one here. It's well, maybe once a month. And then, and so forth, to where they're not in the house of God as the Lord would require them to be. So my point is, that's what he is saying, that the riches can fly away. You think you have everything. I can show you folks that have lost it all. My best friend, I got a letter from him today. He was a missionary in South Africa for 40-something years. His great-grandfather, I've seen a picture of his house. How many of you have been to Biltmore House? Have you seen anything like that? All right. His house, this is back before the Depression. It didn't look like Biltmore. It looked like a castle. And it went forever. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on and on. He was in timber, in the timber industry up north. He lost everything, absolutely everything. Went from being a gazillionaire to being basically a pauper. He had nothing. And there's others I can tell you. And you probably know stories like that. That's what he's saying here, and I've got to hurry. Verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For he thinketh in his heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, excuse me, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. And he's not talking about physical nausea. He's talking about the nausea of the heart that doesn't go away after 20 or 30 minutes or taking a pill. It's the kind of thing, why did I get into that at all? Now, that's just the first one, but I labeled it maintaining discernment and discretion. Those are kind of like first cousins, discernment and discretion. Discernment has the idea of an objective opinion and where you're being able to differentiate between this is good, this is better, this is best, or this is not good, this is bad, or this is evil, okay? That's discernment. Discretion has more of an idea of walking around discernment, that there's just that sense that you're able to just, even without really doing an objective study of it, this is a Braillology here, but just kind of that walking discernment, I call it discretion, to where you know what's appropriate in a certain setting, that people laugh in settings that's not appropriate, or people are flippant in settings that are not appropriate, or just the opposite. And so there's the maintenance of discernment and discretion. Now, the next one's only four verses, verses 9 through 12. We're not going to do them all. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark. Okay, now you remember in the Old Testament, what they would do as the Jews were dispersed from Joshua, and they would put the various landmarks, all right? Judah, here is your property. And they would put a landmark there, and over there, and maybe up there, and over here, and up there, okay? Some of it went all the way up north of the Jordan, and not the Jordan, but to the north and west of the Sea of Galilee, and up, I can't think of them, Horeb, Mount Horeb. And then over to east, God gave them all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way down, and almost to the Persian Gulf, not all the way, and then back over to what we call Gaza, in that area to the Mediterranean Sea. So they had, each of them had certain areas, Reuben and just all of the different sons of the nations of Israel, the different tribes of Israel. And he is saying, don't move those. That is never to be out of Judah's territory, or the descendants, or Simeon, or whomever it was. Leave that right where it is, so that their descendants, at the year of Jubilee, if nothing else, can go back, and their descendants can go back, and this is their inheritance from God. Okay? So, and if you read on through verse number 12, verse 11, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead the cause with thee. If you go in and you move it and say, oh, that's on my property after all, when it wasn't. He says, their Redeemer, which is talking about God, is mighty. He shall plead your cause. Verse number 12, apply thine heart to instruction and thine ear to words of knowledge. So in verses 9 through 12, I label that simply maintaining wisdom and knowledge for life settings. Just whatever it is God's doing in your life. It may be the vocation, the work that you're doing. It may be whatever area of life. But when God reveals His wisdom to you through the Word of God, perhaps, through the Holy Spirit, and you're seeking after that instruction, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do about this. And I'm in that setting quite regularly, as I know you are as well. That when we come to those times, we need to just say, okay, Lord, whatever you show me, that's what I'll do. We were scheduled to go at 2:15 today to look at a house to buy it. We drove, we found out it came on the market about 4 days ago. And it's over in the by Fruitland and that neck of the woods over there. And a nice setting. It's over the, you look through the trees and you can see the mountains. It's just a nice setting. And so we were scheduled to go there today. This would be the third time we would have put in a bid if we were going to do it. We hadn't seen inside yet, but from the pictures, it looks very nice. And the prices have come down a little bit, and so we thought, okay, we better get over there. So we had an appointment to go at 2:15 today, and at about 1:30, we got a call from the realtor, and a bid had been already accepted. So we can either look at it and say, or thank you, Lord. There's a place. It's just right. Just right. And we know that you're gonna lead us in the right direction. And so the point is, and I can't say that we always, I won't speak for Becky, but I'll speak for Randy. Sometimes, you know, and I just know this will be the best thing in the world. And the Lord closes the door. Maybe it's not a house. Maybe it's something else. But I've learned through the years, as you have, just trust the Lord. He loves us more than we love him, and he knows his will. So when we seek wisdom and instruction from the Lord, it is well done. All right, the next one's only two verses. That's verses 13 and 14. So we're going to fly through it. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him. Now, some over in that other building might have a different interpretation of this text. All right, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, it's not talking about child abuse here, all right? Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. All right? So he's talking about corporal punishment. We live in a day and time that's called what? Yeah, child abuse. No, it's child abuse the other way around. It sure is. Having worked for the state of Georgia in juvenile delinquency and having worked as a youth pastor for about 15 years and worked with a lot of young people in trouble, a lot of young people in trouble. And I've had young people that were sentenced to, and I was there in the court hearing with them, or not with them. I was a part of the system rather than defending them. But the last young lady, I won't go into all, it's not why we're here, but the last thing I, my job when I left to go back into youth ministry, was a young lady. It was awful, awful, awful. I may have told this, have I? I haven't. Long story short, you name any crime, and she had probably done it as a juvenile. Wicked, mean, strong as an ox, didn't care what anybody thought, and hung around folks like that. And when I went over, she was about to turn, I forget what it was in Georgia, 17 or 18, I don't remember which. But she was about to turn 17, and then at 18, she would go to adult. And so she had been in so many things, been arrested so many times, that they told me, when you go to see her, if you don't want to fool with her, we'll close the thing here and we'll turn her over to the adult from now on. And so I went to see her, and her file was that thick. And I sat down with her, first name was Marilyn, and I sat down with her and I said, Marilyn, I'm going to tell you about you. I'd never met her. And I started going through all the things I knew about her. Boy, she got more mad and more mad, more mad, more mad, more mad, and all of that. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If after this you jaywalk and you get arrested, you're going to be tried as an adult. Or I'm going to give you an option. If you're tired of living this way and you want me to help you, I promise I'll do it. If it means we get together every day, multiple times a day, it doesn't matter, I'll help you. But you got to figure out what you want to do. And I left. She was mad as a hornet. She called me and she said, I want to change. Okay? And so I did. I started meeting with her on a regular basis. She claimed to have gotten saved. I'm not sure that it did. But I'd go to the police station to see about some other young person had been arrested. And they said, when did Marilyn die? And I said, she died? Yeah, she must have, because we haven't arrested her in a week or two or three or four, whatever it was. And I said, no, she's doing really well. Long story short, she called me one day. She said, Mr. Bray, she said, I can't take it anymore. My friends are telling me that I'm doing all of the bad things I used to do. And I'm not doing any of them. But they're my friends. And they're accusing me of it. She said, I can't. I said, Marilyn, tell me where you are. I'll come get you. Don't do it. Don't do it. She said, I can't. I can't go anymore. I've got it. I'm back with my friends. And so it wasn't long, and I got a call from the police. And she'd gone to a Belk's, took a razor blade, went to the men's suit department, took the blade down, all the men's suits, took the razor blade. When the manager of the store came, she put the razor blade to his throat, and she didn't cut him, and they got her away from him. But the last thing I did was to make a recommendation for her to be put in the Youth Development Center, which she probably went from there to prison. So the point I'm trying to make is this. I've had young people that were in the system, a number of them, look at me and say, I wish I had a parent who would have told me no. Would have told me no. If we'll just do it God's way. Now, we're not talking about beating here, all right? I know he talks about a rod, and we have those kinds of thoughts. I've been with people that have been abused. I've been with children that have been abused, terribly abused. We won't go into this, not why we're here. But we're not talking about abuse. I would fight, literally, with anybody that would abuse a child, in any way, But he's talking about God has a way. That's why he made parts of the anatomy where they could handle that kind of corporal punishment. So that's what he's saying here. And I put it as maintaining godly corrections through appropriate discipline. Maintaining godly corrections. So when you use that, okay, and you don't use corporal punishment for everything, that should be the last resort. You say, son or daughter, and we're not going to teach it tonight, but son or daughter, here's what's going to happen. Now, here's what daddy says, or here's what mama says. And if you don't do this, here's what's going to happen. Now, we'll give you a couple, since this is a new rule, we'll let you have a couple of mistakes because you've got a habit or whatever it is. And so we'll forgive two of them. And then after that is, this is what's going to happen. You have to roof the house or what? No, you don't do that. But here's what's going to happen. And if that doesn't work, then we'll do this. And if that doesn't work, then you need to understand, here's what's going to happen. Daddy or mom is going to have to spank you. And so they get plenty of warning and hopefully, and that's what he's saying here. If you do the corporal punishment, they're going to come to a place where they say to themselves, you know what? It sure be a whole lot easier to just obey. And that'll help them to keep in mind the right things. All right. Verses 15 through 19, I'll not give any commentary on the rest of it, but just so you see the different subjects. So number one was maintaining discernment and discretion. Number two, maintaining wisdom and knowledge for life settings. Number three, verses 13, 14, maintaining godly corrections through appropriate discipline. Number four is verses 15 through 19, maintaining the blessings of God without interruption. That's like an oasis. I grew up in Arizona. And you go through the desert, you're out mountain climbing or whatever, and then all of a sudden, for example, how many of you have ever heard of Superstition Mountain in Arizona? Anybody ever heard of it? Yeah, okay. All right. Have any of you been on Superstition Mountain? Okay, when I was in Arizona, we climbed Superstition Mountain. It's the Lost Dutchman's Mine. They say it's still lost. They can't find it. So people still go there. I won't put you through all of it, but there's some bushes there that make it really hard to be able to discern, am I going up or am I going down? And people have gotten lost, not knowing if they were ascending or descending, and they run out of water and they die on the mountain. But you know what? When you get to the top of the mountain, there's a beautiful lake in an apple orchard. Absolutely. You get up there, and I didn't know it. They didn't tell us. It was a youth group I went with. And they didn't tell us when you get to the top what it's like. You get to the top, and it's just the opposite of everything you went through to get up there. But you get up there and it's absolutely gorgeous. You can see around, beautiful lake, absolutely wonderful. And that's what we're talking about here is maintaining the blessings of God without interruption. Verses 15 through 19. When you look at that text, it's just God saying, I love you. I love you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Verses 20 to 21, maintaining abstinence from detrimental influences. And I won't give the rest. Well, let me give them. Number six is maintaining parental truth. Wisdom and instruction and rejoicing the hearts of the parents. And I'm going to give it to you just so that you know the different subjects that hopefully you'll go back and look at it. Verses 27 and 28, number 7, is maintaining distance from immoral women. And of course, this is Solomon written to his son. And he was telling him about the wrong kind of women who will do whatever they can to entice you. And it kind of goes back to the very first section. If you're given to appetite, put a knife to your throat and say, wait a minute, you can give in to that. And for fellas, watch out. There are ladies that are not ladies. There are women who dress in a provocative way, not because they see godliness in you, but they just want what they want. And he said, it could be said in the reverse, but in this text, it's saying to men, watch out about immoral women. And then finally, is maintaining a righteous position and perspective regarding wine's capabilities. And when I work with AA and I work with Alateen, I headed up Alateen, and that's it's group therapy for teenagers whose parents are alcoholics or drug addicts. And I agreed to do it. I was when I was in juvenile work, and they said they understood I was a youth pastor as well, so they asked if I'd work with Alateen. And I thought, hey, this is just a great group that love God and so forth. And I began working with the teenagers and telling them, you know, here's how you really have victory is through the Lord Jesus. And some of them evidently went back and told their folks, I was talking to them about Jesus. And the head of the AA came to see me and said, hey, listen, we're glad for what you're doing, but you can't talk about Jesus. I thought part of it was believing in the supreme being. Well, yeah, but your supreme being may be Jesus, and that's fine. For somebody else, it may be Allah. For somebody else, it may be the moon god. For somebody else, it might be that. And so there's just no way I could continue working with it. But the point I'm trying to make is that wine, alcoholic beverages, have within the potential of the chemicals itself to alter one's ability to think clearly. And I've been with it a lot through the years in different individuals. And so he is giving this. So here's the point, and I'm finished. The point is that in chapter 23, these men that taught last week, that shared with them, with us, what God showed them from this chapter, they were all excellent. As I looked at it for this evening, as I began to go through it and study it verse by verse again, and it just stood out to me. Here is a one chapter overview of probably a lot of the whole book of Proverbs, of saying, hey, if you'll pay attention to this, God's going to work in your life and you'll find success. Over here, whoa, watch out for this, because if you're not careful, if you're not discerning, if you don't use discretion, you're gonna fall into traps that you wouldn't have fallen into had you had the spiritual and the wisdom and the discernment, the spiritual wisdom and discernment that you needed to pay attention to where you were and the setting that you're in. So I hope, I know it's been rapid fire, but I hope that it will just excite your heart. Now, tomorrow is what day? December the 22nd? 22nd. Okay. Tomorrow's the 22nd. I thought it was going to be the 23rd, so I'm glad I asked. All right. Tomorrow's the 22nd. Let me challenge you. Go to the 22nd proverb. Some of you have done that probably for years. You take a proverb that corresponds with the day of the month. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Many times there's 31 days in a month. Tomorrow's the 22nd day of the month. Go to the 22nd proverb, as well as other chapters that you study. And I'm in Isaiah right now as well. But just say, Lord, I'm hungry. I am hungry today. Show me something from thy word. It may be in Proverbs, and that's kind of a quick read. But Lord, maybe I'm in Isaiah. Maybe I'm reading through the Bible. Maybe I'm reading through Proverbs. I mean, through Philippians every day for 30 days. A lot of people do things like that. They'll take a book of the Bible and read it through every day for 30 days. If you do that, two things are going to happen. Number one, your Bible's probably going to open automatically to that book. Number two is you will find you'll actually start memorizing verses, not even trying to. They just stand out. And boy, you just read it and, oh, that's rich. And I'm going to look at that again. And you're going to find that you're going to remember a lot of those verses. Find the Word of God. Don't go a day without food. Have the right kind of appetites. Yes, maybe for this world, but have the appetites for the Word of God. And it will change your life, as I'm praying it will change mine as well. All right, well, I'm going to ask Brother Corallo if he will come up, as he normally does, and in our prayer time. And I'm going to slip down. And the young people, I normally would already be with them. They're up with the others, so I need to get down with them and have some fellowship with them as well. All right, why don't we have a word of prayer, and I'll dismiss myself, and Brother Corallo will come. Father, normally would never even begin to think of doing a whole chapter like that. But Father, I have felt that it was necessary at your leading to help to see all the various subjects, that if we'll pay attention to the subjects, we don't really have to worry about falling for the wrong choices or whatever. You're going to guide us in this life. You tell us how to do it. This one chapter is just an overview of what you tell us in the rest of the scriptures. And we're so very, very grateful for that. We thank you for those who are visiting with us tonight. It's been an unusual type service. But Lord, I pray that it will be that which will encourage them to understand how you want us to know your word and the truths in it, so that you can bless us, so that we don't have to make a lot of mistakes. And if we do make a lot of mistakes, then we can work our way out of those through your word and the guidance of thy spirit and through salvation of your son. We'll thank you for it and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.